Hallelujah. Well, you know, it's always interesting at Ramey. We have the mix between the new and the old. I know as soon as they started that old hymn, Dad goes, "That's an old hymn." You know, it made him light up, you know, so amen. Well, I read I don't normally start out with a joke, but I read a joke on the internet, and it kind of goes along with my message a little bit today, so I'm going to read it. It says this, driving down a country road, a man comes upon a priest and a rabbi standing on the shoulder of the road fishing, which I have no clue why a priest and a rabbi would be fishing on the shoulder road, but it works on the joke, okay? Next to them is a sign that reads, "Turn around, the end is near." The driver didn't like being preached to, so he rolled down the window and yelled, "Mind your own business, you religious nuts." A few seconds later, the two men fishing hear screeching tires, then a splash. The rabbi turns to the priest and said, "I told you we should have written 'bridge closed' on the sign." So obviously, but my point is I do believe we are living in the last days. I do believe that the end is near, and I don't mean that tomorrow you're going to wake up in heaven, all right? But I do believe that we are, you know, entering in the last days, and we can see the signs of the times. If you have your Bibles or your devices, turn to Matthew chapter 24, and I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation because I like what it says. Matthew 24, verse number 6, talking about the end of times. And it says this, "You will hear of wars and revolutions on every side, with more rumors of wars to come. Don't panic or give in to your fears, for the breaking apart of the world systems is destined to happen. But it won't be the end. It will still be unfolding." Well, you know, it seems that there are a lot of breaking apart of the world systems right now going on all around the world. It goes on to say, "Nations will go to war against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms, and there will be terrible earthquakes and horrible epidemics." Kind of sounds familiar. It says, "And famines in place after place, this is how the birth pains of the new age will begin." Now, you know, I've always wondered, well, how is there going to be a famine in the United States of America? We have so much farmland or whatever. Well, the way we have a famine is not getting stuff to our stores. And so whenever we go to buy peanut butter, we can't buy peanut butter. When we go to buy meat, there's no meat. And I don't know if anyone's checked out your local store. A lot of times the name brand that you want to buy is not there, which causes a panic in my house, because if I come back with the Walmart brand, then my wife accuses me of being cheap. But sometimes Walmart brand is the only brand they got, you know. Actually, it's what's Great Value. It's not even Walmart brand, because they don't want you to think it's Walmart brand. They want to call it Great Value because it's a great value. And sometimes it tastes okay, and sometimes it doesn't. You know, it's kind of a... Anyway, just a tip to the wise. You know, I do buy Great Value toilet paper, you know, as long as it's, you know, because it's just like Charmin, but cheaper. And I found out the milk. In fact, I've heard that the milk, the Great Value milk, is actually processed in the Highland Milk factory. So you can buy Highland milk and pay a dollar more, or you can buy Great Value milk from Walmart and save time. All right. Also, you know, talking about famines, somebody said, which I don't know this, I'm not a farmer, so I have no clue, but someone said they're talking to a lot of farmers, and they said because of lack of fertilizer, that they haven't been able to plant as much this year as they do. So they don't expect to reap as much crops next year, which would cause issues. But anyway, God's still God. Amen. It goes on to say, verse number 9, nobody wants to hear this one. It says, "You can expect to be persecuted, even killed." All right. "For you will be hated by all the nations because your love for me." So it says if we love Jesus, that we'll be hated. But you know what? It does seem in the world today there is a hatred for Christians for whatever reason. You know, because I guess we're just religious nuts when we're trying to help people. All right. It says, then many will stop following me and fall away, and they will betray one another and hate one another. And many lying prophets will arise, deceiving multitudes and leading them away from the path of truth. And then here's what interesting. It says, and there will be such an increase of the sin of lawlessness that those whose hearts once burned with passion for God and others will grow cold. You know, there's been a lot of lawlessness going around, you know, not only in our nation, but all around the world. You know, and it's, I'm not saying it's daily, but it's very common to read, you know, on an Instagram post or a Facebook post, some minister, you know, saying that they don't even know if they believe what they believe anymore. You know what? We need to believe what the Bible says. I know my grandfather was always, I'm a stickler for the word. What does the word of God say? God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. I mean, you know, there is no reason to question. All right? Anyway, it says, but hold your hope firmly to the end, and you will experience life and deliverance. Yet, through it all, the good news of heaven's kingdom will be proclaimed all over the world, providing every nation with a demonstration of the reality of God. And after that, the end of this age will arrive. And I believe as we are going through the signs of the times, what the Bible says, we will see a revival among the nation. A revival is taking place. You know, we're gone through the epidemics, we've gone through the earthquakes and the famines and all that kind of stuff, but it's time to get on fire and light a revival to this nation. You know, just because other people are being lawless doesn't mean that God doesn't exist. But you know what? It's really hard to get people saved if nobody's talking about Jesus. You know, it is interesting. So I'll read a verse. First of all, says in my notes, we're living the last days and the end is near, all right? Mark 16:15, we all know what it says. The New Living Translation says it this way. It says, and then he told them, Jesus talking to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. So the title of my message today is, where in the world are you going? Where in the world are you going? Now, some people say, okay, well, I need to go on a missions trip. No, you don't need to go on a missions trip. You need to minister to the people that you are around. You know, a lot of people say, well, if I go on a missions trip, I can preach the gospel, you know, to all kinds of people. No, you can preach the gospel to people that are around you. When Jesus was talking about going to all the world, he meant to go into wherever your world is. Now, some people feel called to a certain place, you know, some people feel called to go to a very primitive location, you know, and preach the gospel. That's fine. You know, God needs somebody in every part of the world. The only way to reach the world is to have somebody ministering in every part of the world. And I know, I've heard my grandfather over and over again whenever he used to say, he was very proud of this, is that we have Rhema graduates in every continent of the earth preaching the gospel. You know, and we've even heard of reports because he would always say every inhabited continent, because Antarctica is not really inhabited. It was a bunch of penguins and a few scientists there. But we've actually got reports that a few Christians have gone down to minister, a few Rhema grads have gone down to minister to the scientists there. So we can say we've had Rhema graduates ministering on every continent of the earth. And he was very proud about that. But what's so incredible now is we have Rhema graduates, you know, training for the ministry on every continent of the earth. Now, he would say that, you know, the sun never sets on a Rhema graduate. Well, the sun never sets on a Rhema student. There is a Rhema student training to go out to the world to preach the gospel, you know, during every time zone of the day. You know, we've graduated over 110,000 students. But I don't care whether you've went to Bible school or you didn't go to Bible school. If you're a saved person, you should be going out and evangelizing your world. I mean, you know, and many people say, well, I'm waiting for you guys to start personal evangelism back up or whatever. Well, you know what? God's waiting on you to do something. You don't need anybody to help you, you know, tell them the good news. What's the good news? Well, Jesus saves, Jesus heals, and Jesus is coming again. And Jesus can get you through this situation going on. And when it seems that everything is falling apart in this world, Jesus will put it all back together again. And you know, it's so many people right now are going through very difficult times. They don't know what's happening. I mean, they're like, man, this is crazy. You know, it's interesting that you can go back to a book written thousands of years ago that tells us what's going to happen, and people still don't believe it. I'm telling you, according to the Word of God, it says that we're going to have famines and floods and epidemics and you know, and all kinds of stuff. But then it says we're going to have a revival. And then, so what it's saying is, in the middle of all the bad stuff going on, God is still going to show up, and he's going to show his miraculous power to all of mankind. You know, but a lot of us are only concerned about ourselves, and we're not concerned about anybody else. But you have the unique ability to minister to people that are like you. Or they're around you. You know, maybe they happen to live in your neighborhood. Maybe they happen to work with you. Maybe you happen to have similar hobbies. You know, whenever Dad always talks about this, but one part of my world is the racetrack. And, you know, I actually am talking to Michael Tyree, who's also a church member here. You know, we've been talking about, we believe that we need to get more folks, you know, here in church, you know, from the racetrack. Because you know what? We can relate to those people. In fact, every one of them call Dad pastor, because most of them don't have a pastor themselves. You know, and the thing about it is, we all have our own world. Like, you know, I've never been a skateboarder. I've tried skateboarding a couple times and busted my rear end, all right? But there are some people that are a skateboarder, and they hang around with skateboarder people, and they dress in skateboarding clothes or whatever that is or whatever. There are certain people that do different things. Maybe you happen to ride a bicycle like our president. Well, he falls off his bicycle, sorry. But anyway, some people go biking all the time. You know, I guess that's our president's new hobby, because I've seen him on a bike a couple of times. One time he kind of fell over, and it is kind of sad. But you know, there are certain people that hang out with certain groups. Well, can you be a light to that group? See, the way we minister to the whole world is we minister to the world that's around about us, and that's how we reach the whole world. Because the Bible clearly says that we're supposed to preach the gospel to every creature, to every person in this world. And, a scripture that I quote, I actually use the Brother Hagin version of the scripture, because he quotes it, but Luke 14:23, the New King James Version says it this way, says, "Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled." So that's where I get the highways and the byways, okay? Some people have asked me that all the time. And it wasn't my translation of the scripture. It's my grandfather's translation of the scripture that I repeat. All right. In fact, majority of my prayer that I always pray before I preach is a similar prayer that my grandfather always prayed, but I changed it a little bit. And he always talked about the highways and the byways. And people make fun of me because of it. And what's a byway? That means the out of the way places. Because you know what? God doesn't just, you know, he doesn't just minister to the big cities, but he ministers to all over, you know, every place. Now, it is interesting sometimes whenever I'm talking to somebody and I ask them where they're from, you know it's in the middle of nowhere, and you say, well, I live on route whatever, route 9, somewhere in Alabama or whatever. Where is that? Or I live in a holler, you know. So this is how I figure out whether middle of nowhere. I said, how close is the nearest Walmart? Because if you live a long ways from Walmart, you live in the middle of nowhere. Because Walmart also feels that they should reach all the world. Well, at least all United States of America. There's not always a lot of Walmarts in every place there. But you know, it is interesting. You know, people have plans. Like I know that Rhema Brazil, whenever they set forth a plan, you know, they opened the first school in Rhema, and then they set forth a plan in order to reach the whole country of Brazil. They said, we're going to put a Rhema in every capital city in every province. And they did that. And then they expanded the plan. Well, we're going to put a school in every major city in Brazil. And they did that. And then they said, well, we're just going to put schools wherever else they need it. And we have over 100 schools in the nation of Brazil. And that's the way that we're reaching that country. Every country is different, but you have to have a plan. You got to decide you're going to go out somewhere and do something. A lot of people talk about, we're doing this and we're doing it. Well, what are you doing? What in the world are you doing? Are you ministering to your world? Or are you even talking to your neighbors? And I don't mean that you need to go out and just tell everyone, are you saved? Are you saved? Are you saved? You need to establish a relationship with somebody so that way you can talk to them so they know, you know. What happens is people don't know how to minister to people. They just come out of the box and says, you know, start acting like a religious nut. And people don't want to be like you, so they don't get saved. All right? Nobody wants to be, well, I shouldn't say no one wants to be a nut, but because there's probably a few people here that want to be a nut. But you know, we shouldn't want to be crazy. But we should care about this world. You know, I guess I kind of... what happened? This guy, it got me thinking. I've been talking about being a light to the world, and I encourage you to listen to Wednesday's sermon. I tell my pancake story. It was a wonderful story about how God allowed me to minister to a pastor, and just an incredible story. But the thing about it is that I just really feel a passion that we really need to reach this world because people are hurting, and they don't know where their help comes from. I think many times, if I didn't know Jesus, I don't know what I would do in this world. But then some people act like they don't even know Jesus. You know, they're always talking, they're talking about how bad it is and all kinds of stuff. And I'm not saying it's good, but I'm saying the Bible says that my God shall supply all of my needs. It didn't say my God shall supply part of them, a half of them, or a little bit of them. And it doesn't say that my God shall supply all my needs except in the middle of a pandemic or a food shortage or a gas hike time or because of Putin's war. It doesn't say that. It says that my God shall supply all my needs. See, I focus in on the all part. You know, all is an all-inclusive word meaning everything. All right, so if my God shall supply all my needs, why am I griping about everything? Instead of griping about everything, what according to the word, what I need to do is tell God what I need so he can supply that for me. Now, telling God what I need is not griping to God. It's just saying, God, here's what it is. This is where we're at. You know, for whatever reason, we have this happening, and I need that, this. I need that. I mean, you know, maybe at one point, you were actually praying, God, send me toilet paper. I mean, you know, I'm making fun of it, but there was a time it was hard to find toilet paper. All right? And so, you know, I guess if God has to send toilet paper from heaven like he sends manna from heaven, he could do that. Because we serve a God that's more than enough, all right? Or he can lead you and guide you to an out-of-the-way place that happens to have toilet paper, you know, or whatever. And I'm just using toilet paper for example. Whatever you need, our Father shall supply that. Now, see, I believe it because it's written in the Word. I already told you, my grandfather taught me a long time ago, what does the Word say? If it says it in the Word, then we should believe that. But I don't think that we believe it sometimes, or if we do, then we don't act like it, because I read people's social media. They're griping and complaining. You know, I don't know, maybe I didn't read this in the Bible, but I've never read through the Gospels where Jesus Christ just griped and complained to his disciples every day. Now, he wasn't happy with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the other people you see, but, you know, they're you see people. And so don't be a you see people. Now, interesting part about it is the only people that Jesus complained about were the religious ones. You know, I never saw Jesus complain about the sinners, but I hear a lot of Christians, they're all mad at the sinners. Well, I can't believe that they would do this. And they, well, if you're a sinner, why wouldn't you? Here's the thing. They don't have your moral system. But you know what? They're going to continue to do that if they don't meet your Jesus. And you know what? They're not going to get saved by you complaining about them and telling them how bad they are and how messed up they are. Do you realize most people that are messed up know they're messed up? They don't need you to rub it in. Most people that are going through issues know they have issues. But what they need, they need somebody to tell them how to get through the issues. And the way you get through the issues is you find a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. That's how you get through the issues. You know, knowing who Jesus is. And there's no way to know who Jesus is if nobody tells them. Somebody has to be the mouthpiece. See, Jesus came and he was the mouthpiece. And I don't know if you've ever analyzed who his disciples were, but they weren't the most educated people. Maybe a few of them were, but a lot of them were just fishermen. And, you know, they didn't really know a lot. You know, but it didn't matter, because basically Jesus said, hey, you've been hanging around me and you've seen what I've done, so just go do likewise. Well, if you've been hanging around Jesus, and supposedly, hopefully most of you have, whether you're here watching on the internet, because you got up on a Sunday morning to come to church, or at least you woke up to watch us. You know, so, you know, you probably have a relationship with Jesus. And if you do, what you should do is tell other people how good he is. Because Jesus said, go preach the gospel. What does the gospel mean? It means the good news. Well, what's the good news? No matter how bad it gets, no matter how tough it is, that God, my God, shall supply all my needs. My God will get me through this situation. My God will calm the storm. You know, that's the good news. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I have it there in my Bible, but I'm going to go to it here. 1 Corinthians 15, the NLT, it says this. So Paul is telling the church at Corinth, this is the good news right here. It says, let me remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is this good news that saves you, if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what was the most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture says. So Jesus Christ, he died for our sins. You know, that's the good news. That no matter how much we missed it, no matter what we've done, Jesus Christ has taken care of our sins. And Jesus Christ has given us a pathway to heaven. Well, that's good news. But you know what the other good news is? We just didn't get a boarding pass to heaven. A lot of Christians are, you know, especially in some of these old hymns, I mean, you know, when the roll is called up yonder, I'm going to be there. They talk about how good heaven is, and heaven's going to be an incredible place. All right? But we can enjoy our time on the earth in the midst of all kinds of tragedies and trials and tribulations. And, you know, well, what do? We just count it all joy and we keep on going because, you know what, the greater one's on the inside of us and we're going to continue to make it. We're going to continue to get through this situation and we're going to continue to tell everybody how good it is. I mean, it's awesome to be a Christian. I mean, you know, it's awesome to know that no matter what goes on, I'm going to make it. And not only am I going to make it, in the end, it's going to even be better. I mean, you know, I mean, heaven is going to be better than it is here on the earth. I mean, do you realize that we're living the worst days of our life right now? It only gets better. In fact, the Bible says, Paul tells us to die is to gain. I mean, he's like, man, I don't know whether I want to live or want to die, because if I die, it's even better than it is here on the earth. Now, I'm not saying you need to die today, but at least you know where you're going. You know, some people don't have that knowledge. And so, I've actually never seen the movie, but I was over at my mother-in-law's house and she was watching the movie Left Behind. Actually, it was, I guess, the remake in 2014 with Nicolas Cage in there. And I didn't get to see the part where they're all taken, you know, but because I walked in right after the rapture happened. I mean, rapture hasn't really happened literally, but in the movie, okay, where people were taken. Interesting part about it is that one of the persons that didn't go to heaven was a preacher. But these people were saying, well, I should have listened to so-and-so. I should have listened. But you know what? You can't listen to so-and-so if they don't tell you anything. You know, and as I thought about that, I'm like, you know, how many of us would be pretty, I mean, it's pretty selfish. You mean, we talk about, we live in a selfish generation, but it's pretty selfish not to want people that are your neighbors and your friends or whatever to join you one day in heaven. Now, what your mind is, well, no one's dying today, so, you know what, but, you know, we should care about our friends, our neighbors. I know that was a movie, but, you know, it's real life. We need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the most important thing in our life. And the only way for people to know is for you to tell them. You have to be the mouthpiece. Now, we all know John 3:16. I'll read this from the New Living. It says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through him." But the only way for Jesus to save the world is for you to be his mouthpiece, because he's no longer here on the earth. We're his hands and his feet, and we're not doing a good job sometimes of being his hands and his feet. We're not doing a good job of telling people about, you know, your father. It is interesting, because I had a friend growing up that always talked about his dad. Now, his dad had everything. It's interesting, you know. No matter if you got something, his dad already owned it. It was like, man, you know. Now, I never saw his dad's stuff, you know, because supposedly his dad had his own little man cave that nobody went into. I went into it one time, and he did have a TRS-80 computer, which was one of the first computers out there, you know. But it's interesting, you know, he always talked about my dad this and my dad that. But you know what? You know, I guess he was excited about his dad or braggadocious, but it is interesting, us Christians, we have the best dad in the world. We have the best father in the world, the most loving father in the world. Our Father gave us Jesus, and we talk about him when we come to church. We talk about him when we come, you know, in fellowship with somebody that believes like us. But we don't always talk about how good our God is, you know, whenever we're not around other Christians, when we're in our world. See, we can't minister to our world if we're different in our world than we are in our church. We have to be the same. We have to, you know, to be a light to our world. But we can't be a light to our world if we, like, you know, kind of hide, you know, we're a secret agent Christian. You know, it's like, if you're an actual spy, you're not supposed to tell people you're a spy. All right? But we're not supposed to be a spy. We're supposed to be a teller. Jesus commanded us to tell the good news. Because you know what? We're still his disciples. We're still a follow after him, just like his disciples. You know, we've spent time with him, so we should follow after him. We should be a doer of God's word. You know, Jesus said that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I mean, everything that I do, the Father does. I'm just acting out his love toward the world. And I believe that that's what we need. We need to show forth the love of Jesus to a lost and a dying and hurt world. I'm not talking about, you know, judgment. I'm talking about compassion, mercy, and forgiveness, because those are the things that Jesus always did. How many times did you read in the Word where Jesus was moved with compassion and then he healed folks? All right? You know, we need to be more moved with compassion. I always, you know, teaching in the school, I always say, one of the things that ministers need most is that compassion. But you know what? Christians should have that compassion. When you see people are hurting, you should have compassion on them and go talk with them. You know, well, yeah, but I'm busy. You know, we're all busy. We find time to do what we want, though. I mean, if there's something you really want to do. So I was reading the other day where someone was talking about how they have trouble getting up early in the morning unless they're going fishing. Then they get up. See, but I'm not like that. Like I was telling a story. We were out at the lake one time, and Kurt Pavroot, some of you know Kurt. I mean, he was kind of like my older brother. And so he's like, hey, I know where to go fishing. If we'll get up at 6 in the morning, we'll go and catch. I went with him 6 in the morning. We caught 40 fish. All right, so, you know, it was awesome. So that next night, he goes, you want to do it 6 in the morning again? He goes, no, we caught fish this morning. I'm sleeping in tomorrow. I mean, why get up early again? That was miserable. I don't like to get up early to go fishing. That's probably one reason I've never gone hunting before, because I don't want to wake up before the deers do to go get in the tree. Now, I would just do better to stay in the deer stand all night long, because, you know, 2 in the morning, I'm good. 6 in the morning, no. Or 5 in the morning or whatever. I mean, if I need to do something early, I just usually don't go to bed. Because it's just too much trouble. Anyway, I don't know how I transitioned off of that. But it's up to us to tell them about God's love for the world. If you never tell people how much, you know, what you should do, I know this is mean, but when people start griping about the economy and all this stuff, you should just say something like, well, praise God. Well, then they're going to think, well, you're praising. Well, why are you praising God? I just told you how bad the economy is. I'm praising God because no matter how bad the economy is, I know that my God will take care of me. And it might make him mad, but, you know, but my God will take care of you if you served him. You know, I say praise God all the time. It doesn't matter. I don't care where I'm at. I mean, you know, because my God is good. And if he's really good, I want to give praise to him. You know, I want to give thanks to him. A few more scriptures. Acts 1:8, many of you have read that. New Living Translation says it this way. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So Jesus says, you know what? Once the Holy Ghost comes upon us, we should be willing to go out to every part of the earth. And many people tell me, well, they're willing to go somewhere on a mission trip, but they're not willing to go in the world that they live in on a daily basis. If you're not going to minister to your world, you have no business ministering to anybody else's world. All right? I mean, you know, if you're not going to, you know, talk about how good God is, well, when I go over there, it's easy because nobody knows me. Well, you know what? It should be easy to minister to people that know you, because if they really know you, you should care about them. And if you don't care about them, that's where your issue is. And see, maybe the point is that they've seen you and they're like, man, I don't want to live in his world. I mean, you know, a lot of times I've heard people say, well, you're no better than me. You gripe as much as I do about everything. So, you know what? I mean, why gripe? I mean, there's no reason to gripe and complain about the things of the world, because I've read Matthew 24. If you read the Bible, maybe that's a problem. We need to start reading the Bible. We need to start reading the Word and know what's going on. Now, I know many people are trying, they're still trying to focus in on Revelation, trying to figure out, you know, well, you know, remember the red horse was used to be Russia, and then it turned to China, and, you know, now it might be Mars. I don't know. You know. Everybody's trying to decryptify all this stuff, but I'm telling you, there's a lost and dying and hurting world around you. Why are you trying to figure out, you know, what this is and what that is? Why don't you go minister to the people that you know? Every one of us knows people that are not saved. Every one of us knows people that we work with, that we hang around on a regular basis at some point or sometime, or you have some kind of fellowship with, and they need Jesus. Or maybe they are saved, but see, there's a lot of people that have their boarding pass, but they don't use the benefits that we have, you know, here on the earth. Do you realize, some of you may or may not realize this, if you have a first class boarding pass, then if it's first class, then these airlines will let you go to their airline club and get free food and free drinks and have lounge chairs and all kinds of, they want you to be comfortable while you're waiting because you're in first class. I'm telling you what, you know, we have better than first class when we have God. You know, and so we have all these benefits, and there are a lot of Christians that have boarding passes, but they don't know they have benefits, because you know what? You can have all the benefits of the world and never use it. In fact, you can be a millionaire and starve to death. You can be a millionaire and starve to death. You can have $1 million in your bank account and never use it, because the only way to actually, you know, not starve to death is actually use some of your money to buy some food so you don't starve to death. You can have plenty of money and still starve to death because you didn't use what you had. You know, we serve a good God. Now, I talked about this on Wednesday, that we are a light to the world, the Bible says. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, New Living Translation says this: you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. See, if there's a city out there with a bunch of lights, it can't be hidden. Everyone can see it. All right, but if you're a secret agent Christian, you're dark. Nobody knows who you are or what you are. You know, don't try to be 008. Because you're definitely not 007, because 7's God's number. And if you're a 7, you'll be telling people all about heaven. Anyway, so goes on to say, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. You know what? Every person around about you should know that you're a Christian. The people that hang around you on a normal, on a regular basis, the people you work with, your neighbors, should know you're a Christian. You know, and it shouldn't be because you have a reverend in front of your name. You know, they should know you're a Christian just by the way you act. Just by the way you carry yourself. By the way that you are nice. You know, the Bible says that Jesus of Nazareth, full of the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good. And then it says he healing. You know, we should be good people. Nice people. You know, if your first experience with your neighbor is griping at them for something they did, that's not a good impression. And we know we should leave good impressions, especially if we know that those people around about us are not Christians. We should leave a better impression. Or if we know people around about us are questioning their salvation, I mean, everybody should know how much we love God. You know, because I'm telling you what, if they know, because there comes a time when people are hurting and they need answers, and they look to you and says, well, you must know something. So I'm looking to you. Going back to Mark 16, and in Mark 16, verse 15, it says, and he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. And anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. Now, it doesn't say you should condemn them. It just says, you know what? If they don't believe, that at some point in time, they're going to go to hell. It doesn't mean you need to tell them they're going to hell. Just it means that that's what's happening to them. But what you should do is do all you can. See, if you condemn them, there's no way that they're ever going to get saved. But what you need to do is you just need to keep being nice. Keep being a friend. Keep being there. You know, because what happens a lot of times when people reject Christ, some Christians just decide, okay, forget about you. I'm going to find somebody else. Well, you know what? They're still alive and they still care, and you're hanging around. You have to be around them on a daily basis, so you might as well, you know, not give up on them. Jesus doesn't give up on you. In fact, the Bible clearly says that he stands at the door and he keeps knocking even when you don't even answer. Have you ever had that person that stood at your door and kept ringing your doorbell over and over again, knocking and knocking and knocking, and you know, you won't come to the door, you know, and they're like, man, I wish that person would go away. You know, there are some people that, some of these salespeople that want to sell you pest control or whatever, they'll just keep sitting there knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking. And, you know, so they're perturbing. But you know what? Jesus will always knock. He'll keep knocking even when you don't open. Because you know what? He loves you that much. He cares about you that much. And we should care about people enough that, you know what? We just keep being nice. Now, it goes on to say this. It says, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. And I think it's really interesting. It says that if you're a believer, doesn't say if you're Pastor so-and-so. It doesn't say if you have a large church. It says that these signs will follow everyone who believes. And so when it says a believer, that means that anyone who believes in Christ should be using these signs. What are these signs? It says, I like it. It says in the New Living, it says, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. Miraculous. Miraculous. Now, you realize miraculous, when the word miraculous, I mean, when people say that's a miracle, I mean, that's like, you can't even comprehend. Well, you know, God is so good, he wants his believers to do things that you can't even comprehend. Well, what are the signs? It says, they will cast out demons in my name. Now, that doesn't mean you go looking for demons. Or that don't mean that every person you see, well, you're possessed. You're possessed. You're possessed. Because there's some people that do that. Everything's a demon. In fact, I heard a story about a church that they bought a church building from another church. And so when they moved in, there was a prayer cloth on top of the air conditioning system. And they found prayer cloths all over. And so somebody asked, why is there a prayer cloth? Well, that there was a demon that got in that AC. Now, I know it would be a whole lot easier if your AC, you know, when your AC broke, if there was a demon in there to get rid of the demon so it would work again, but it might help to put some Freon in it or whatever it needs. Maybe your AC broke because it's working so hard because it's 105 degrees, or I think it's supposed to be 110 on Tuesday. Praise God. Well, it's a preview of hell. And why you don't want to go there. If you think this is hot, I mean, this should be the biggest attraction in the world not to want to go to hell. All right? I mean, you know, you think you're sweaty now. Anyway, it goes on and said that they will speak in new language or speak in other tongues. It says they will be able to handle snakes with safety. Doesn't mean you need to pick snakes up. That means if there happens to be one crawling by trying to bite you, that you know what? They're not going to bother you. Just like when Paul got bit by a snake, everyone was waiting for him to die, and he didn't die. Why didn't he die? Because of Mark 16. He didn't die. It goes on to say, and if they drink any poisonous, it won't hurt them. That doesn't mean you need to, you know, drink poison all your life. Because, you know, some people want to handle snakes and drink poison because they want to prove that their God is real. No, the point is, if somebody tries to poison you, it's not going to work because God is God. All right? So, and then this point says, they will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. You know what? Whenever you lay your hands on a sick person, you should expect them to be healed because that's what the Bible says. Now, here's the thing is that, you know, the Bible talks about signs and wonders. When somebody's not a believer that they don't know, they don't have to use their faith at all. But because, see, when you pray for them, the God's going to give them a sign and wonder and show them, hey, this is real. This is real. Now, you know, you should expect to be well. I mean, you know, that's the thing. People will come down in a prayer line and they'll leave not expecting to get anything. Well, you're going to get what you expect. If you expect to be healed, you'll be healed. If you don't, you won't. And then what happens a lot of times is when they come down to heal the line, they walk away and say, well, see, I didn't get anything. I feel the same way. No, you got to believe. Only believe. All things are possible to them that believe. Do you believe or you don't believe? Amen. Hallelujah. So, what should we do? We should go to our world. Where in the world are you going? Are you ministering to your world? Are you like waiting? Well, if I save up enough money, I'm going to go to Africa and minister there. No, you have an opportunity to minister to people that are around about you, the people who know you, the people that you should care, because, you know, anyone you hang about around, you should care about them. You say, well, no, I just have to work with them. I don't really care. Well, if you don't really care, that's pretty selfish. You know what? And I think the rudest thing you could ever do is want people to go to hell. Now, you know, you've seen, you know, people get mad at people and they'll tell people to go to hell. Anyone ever seen that? Maybe you've actually said it, you know, but You know, I believe that's the worst cuss word in the world. Telling someone to go to a place that they're going to burn for eternity. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm sure that nobody wants anyone that you know, even if they're not the nicest person to you, no one literally wants them to burn for eternity. And if you do, you're a sick person. And you can't be a Christian and want somebody to suffer. Now, I realize you say, well, yeah, but this person's not nice. Or, you know what? The reason people aren't nice is because they don't know Jesus. And you say, well, yeah, but they're a Christian. All right, well, the Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself. If you can't love yourself, you can't love your neighbor. Maybe they have internal issues. All right, they don't love themselves. But we need to go out to our world and be a blessing. Be a light. I mean, the other day when I was walking through the airport, God gave me this word and was the word for you guys, to be a light. Don't wait for somebody else to be a light. You be that light. So, I'm just a mere church member. You know Jesus, right? If you know Jesus, if you're a follower after him, you can be a light. If you're a believer, you know, signs to follow them that believe. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you. We magnify you. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here. And we thank you, Father, to help us to go to our world and be a light to our world and our generation and the people that we're round about. But Father God, we thank you right now. If there's anyone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior, that this morning they'll accept him in their life, and they'll be on the road to heaven. Father God, we just thank you right now. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here in this room and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to this morning, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. If you're here today and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus. I don't know the Jesus you talked about. I don't know the one that saves, the one that heals, and the one that's coming again. I don't know him, and I want to this morning. Or maybe you're here today and you said, Craig, I knew Jesus, but I've kind of walked away. I've turned my back, and this morning I want to rededicate my life to him. If that's you, lift your hand, and we want to pray with you. Across this auditorium, if you don't know Jesus, there's a hand over there. Thank you. Anybody else said, I don't know Jesus, or I want to rededicate myself to him. Or maybe you're here and you've heard us talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And you said, I've never been filled with the Spirit of God. I don't even know what that is. I tell you what, it's an extra endowment from power from on high. And if you've never been filled with the Spirit, you should this morning. If that's you, lift your hand across the auditorium. If you want to be filled with the Spirit of God, lift your hand, because we want you to get that. We want you to be filled. If you're here this morning, you need that. Amen. Let's all stand up. If you lifted your hand for prayer, or you should have lifted your hand for prayer, I'm going to ask you to come down here. Whether it's salvation for the first time, or rededication, or infilling of the Holy Spirit, if you should have lifted your hand, come on down here. We want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Just come on down here with us. Sing.
Jesus is waiting. Open arms, so come just as you are.
Amen. Anybody else want to join this man? Come out down here.
Come as you are.
And I want to make sure that everybody in this room knows where they're going when they die. I don't want anybody to be left behind, because that's not just a movie. It's not just a book. It's real life. Or if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, I just feel there are people here that have never been filled with the Holy Spirit. They don't even know what it is. Just get down here. I tell you what, you'll enjoy it. That's you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The altar's still open. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
How
you doing, brother? Joe.
Yes.
Father God, we just thank you for Joe. We thank you for his life. And we thank you right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you that his life will never be the same again. We thank you that he'll be back on fire for you. We thank you for forgiving him from his sins, Father. And we thank you, Father, for setting him free. In the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Father, for his life. We just thank you for Joe. And we thank you, Father, that he'll go out and he'll tell others. And Joe will be a light to his world. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Joe, here's some books I want to give to you.
Yes, sir.
And I want you to follow Brother Greg. He's going to talk to you a little bit and make sure you get what you came for. Amen. Yes, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Just reach your hand out toward Joe. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Joe, and we just thank you for setting him free, Father. We thank you, Father, that Joe's life will never be the same again after today, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We know he came in as an average Joe, but he's going to go out being a filled up Joe. And there's many Joes around about you. They're just average Joes, but they need to be on fire, Joes. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, the pastoral staff is headed to the doors to shake your hands. You know, we'd like to, it's always good to shake your hands. So every once in a while, come out one of our doors. It tells you on the screen where we're going to be shaking your hands. So the way we dismiss around here, they're going to sing and they'll dismiss you. Don't forget tonight, 6 p.m. And also don't forget next week. A week from today starts Camp Meeting 50. 50 years of Camp Meeting. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful week. And you definitely want to be here, especially that Thursday night of Camp Meeting. We're going to have a special presentation. And then we have a special after party afterwards. And you don't want to miss it. So if you need to ask off work, whatever, you should do that. Amen? Amen. God bless you. And you need to go out to your world.